Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
So glad you're with us on a fine Monday. Appreciate you carving out some time. We come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Always a thrill to be able to fill in for Jim. You can usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. And, of course, we are simulcast today on CBS Sports Network, live in sparkling Technicolor. This hour, Carmelo gets paid to just go away. Must be nice, huh? And we'll talk to former All-Pro kick return specialist Dante Hall, the human joystick, coming up at about 40 minutes past the hour. We'll discuss with him a couple of the off-season storylines, including the confusion over the new helmet rule. We'll also have to talk to him about Dez Bryant, because over the weekend, Dez, while still being unemployed, likes to make news. He's good at that. Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, was trying to defend Dak Prescott's maturity and said that he should be better this year because he won't be under the pressure of Dez in his ear or Jason Witten in his ear, basically saying, I'm open. We know the Cowboys don't really have a true number one right now, and Dez could be chirpy, and they don't have a future Hall of Fame tight end anymore either. So in some ways, I understand what Stephen Jones is saying. When you don't have a big personality, veterans, or Hall of Fame resumes to have to worry about getting the ball to, maybe you end up relaxing a little bit and spreading the wealth. I don't think it's smart, though, to paint Dez Bryant as a problem for Dak Prescott, because my guess is Dak wouldn't mind having a guy like Dez as a target right now because he's got nothing. So Dez fires off some tweets, including, quote, "Here we go with that scapegoat bleep. I changed everything to the game and went the other way. Y'all know what the real problem is. Don't put it on me with that BS. Garbage-ass play calling. Everybody lined up in the same spot for 17 weeks. Damn. Insert Chris Tucker Friday meme. Damn. Dez also called out his former teammate, Sean Lee and Travis Frederick. Quote, "Jerry was the only one who was clueless. It was planned to get me to ask Travis and my brother Sean Lee, suggesting that there was a inner working to push Dez Bryant out of the picture. Here was Sean Lee in response.
To say that I can get anybody off team and have any input on the roster is absurd. Second thing, I love Dez and I want the best for him. To be honest, we did butt heads because I wanted Dez to be more accountable to this team and his teammates. And to be honest with you, a lot of the team felt that way. I think he needs to look at himself and hold himself accountable. Thank you.
So that's interesting. I think it's pretty obvious. Dez Bryant, I'm sure, rubbed people the wrong way because he's highly emotional. And highly emotional people become exhausting. You might be married to one. You might have one in your family. You might have one in your friend circle. You might work with one. Highly emotional people are exhausting. And I'm sure that there were guys in that locker room that said, man, Dez, you got to chill, man. It's a long season. We've dealt with your stuff for years now. Chill. And at the end of the day, as we all know, if Dez was still Dez of 5 years ago, there's a longer patience. There's more leash. But he's not. He's 29 going on 30 in November. And Dez doesn't play like a number one anymore. Dez doesn't play like a tier A wide receiver. Dez isn't a perennial Pro Bowler anymore. Dez at one point in time was a tremendous target and a great wide receiver and a total security blanket. And him with Jason Witten was a devastating force. But he's not that guy anymore. He's not that guy. And so if he's not that guy, you're not making the same catches, you're not breaking the same tackles, you're not making the same numbers, harder and harder and harder to be patient with emotional outbursts. It becomes exhausting. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Dez might think guys conspire to get him out of there. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if guys did conspire to get Dez out of there. And that only means not running some type of nefarious operation. That merely means, hey, man, you got to get Dez out of here. Tell the coach, man, Dez is exhausting today. Man, Dez needs to shut up. Man, say something to Dez. That's all that means. So I'm sure there's all truth here. But let's face it, Dez is speaking some truth as well. Because Jason Garrett's job stability is incredible. What does this guy have to do to get the zig? They do have the most predictable offense. Jason Garrett is a mediocre, middling head coach. Jason Garrett, every year we do this. Is this the year that he's on the hot seat? We've been saying that for 4 years now. Jason Garrett, it would be nice if he could win, you know, playoff games. But he doesn't, and they don't care. Because Jerry Jones has a bromance with Jason Garrett and Tony Romo. They're the three guys from the films, from Hollywood, from the movies. They're the Hangover trio. You can't kill them. They love each other too much. Jerry, Jason, Tony. I mean, it'd be great if Jason Garrett could win a playoff game, but I'm not holding my breath waiting for it because, let's face it, even the one that he won a couple of years ago on the phantom flag against the Lions was bogus. 8-8, 8-8, 4-12, 8-8, 9-7. Yeah, I know they went 13-3 and lost their first playoff game. Yeah, I know they went 12-4 a couple of years ago, but they should have lost their playoff game. Jason Garrett's not a very good head coach, and Dez Bryant is right to rip him. And it's refreshing because I'm sure there's a lot of the guys in that locker room wondering, what the hell is going on with Jason Garrett still having a job around here? But here's the problem. Dez, you're not helping your own cause. It doesn't help when you're a 29-year-old wide receiver on the decline and you lash out at your former team. Doesn't help. Like I said, emotional people are exhausting. And Dez is highly emotional. And if you can capture Dez's emotion and use it for good, that's when he's at his best. But that emotion can oftentimes come back to backfire, especially when you're 30 years old. And I don't think Dez is ever going to quite get it. And I definitely think that there are people around the league that might have thought about Dez Bryant and said, he's getting up there in age and he's lost a step and I don't know if it's worth it. And then they see this and go, yeah, it's definitely not worth it. And there are people around the league that didn't give him a chance because they worried about him fitting in as a role player, as not a number one, and worried about him demanding the ball or demanding more reps or demanding more touches or chirping or getting with coaches or rubbing teammates the wrong way. And then this just validated all of those concerns. If Dez was smart and this, at this point in time, he would be the ultimate diplomatic former teammate. Love on everybody, compliment everybody, and try to convince people, man, he's a mature, older, better Dez Bryant. And you can bring him in and get value out of him. This is only detrimental to his cause. But he's desperate, and he's lashing out because he's desperate, because he's not getting the calls he thought he would get. And let's face it, I mean, the Cowboys did screw him over in some ways. If they didn't want to keep him around, they could have just released him after the season instead of waiting until the spring. But instead, they waited and waited and waited and waited. And other teams filled slots. And Dez thought he was going to be around. And then they eventually cut bait with him. They could have done it right off the bat, but they didn't. And you know an emotional guy like Dez is going to harbor that resentment for a long time. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Garbage Man Brad tweets, DA, I wear red sweatpants every day. Regards, Tiff. What's wrong with wearing sweats to work? Regards, stay-at-home dads. War front biscuits. You guys have a way with words. Front biscuits. Leave Brady alone. He's just a little moody because I forgot to pick up avocado ice cream. Signed, Giselle. That's from Canadian Hitman. A lot of sweatpants tweets coming in. Shocking. Shocking. All right, coming up later on in the hour. Dante Hall, all-pro kick returner formerly. The human joystick is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Dez Bryant situation and also this helmet rule situation where apparently players are asking the league for clarification on fines, on how it's going to be utilized, how it's going to be legislated, how it's going to be executed, and they're more confused than before. That's not good. And that feels like a real NFL problem. Confusion. Land of confusion. Rule book confusion. It's kind of what the NFL does best. It is their signature. Yeah, you know, other leagues, you know the rules. Here, we like to keep you guessing. Especially our players. So we'll talk to him about that coming up. But when we return next, Carmelo gets paid to go away. How nice. What a world Carmelo has crafted for himself, huh? No championships. Has only been out of the first round twice ever. And now getting paid $29 million to just go away. D.A. Damon Amendolara in for Jim Rome today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Damon Amendolara, D.A. in for Jim today. Thanks so much for making us part of your day here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. Next hour, we're going to tackle this NFL new helmet rule confusion. The Jets trying to lock in their franchise quarterback draftee. And the NFL trying to tell Jerry to put a sock in it when it comes to the national anthem. Tweets coming in. Richard tweets, Dez Bryant shtick is as original as mine. Sincerely, Terrell Owens. War Dak Prescott learning from Carson Wentz. I like Dak. I think he regressed last year, but I like Dak. But I think there is oftentimes so much dysfunction around the building of the roster, around the owner, around nonsense, around drama. I mean, let's face it. Jason Garrett had the most amazing job security out of any coach in the league. But Jerry Jones is the most amazing job security for any GM in the league. And I know that Stephen Jones has wrestled away some of that influence, but Jerry just can't help himself, and that's a roster that has won very few real games of consequence ever since the other GM left, and that would be Jimmy Johnson. You know, there are two spikes in the Jerry Jones lifeline, the timeline, the legacy, and that is early 90s, Jimmy Johnson. That is mid-aughts Bill Parcells. The two things that those eras had in common, Jerry wasn't allowed to pick the players. Dez will be okay. He's made of kryptonite. Signed, Jerry Jones. Jake in Buffalo tweets, you're not helping him, Dez. You're hurting him, and you shouldn't be talking about your former team on Twitter, man. It's kind of amazing that athletes still don't really know how to use social media. Guys are tweeting offensive things from high school and they're not scrubbing them once they get into the league. Guys are battling with just regular civilians like Kevin Durant and getting into trouble for it, sometimes via burner phone. And other guys are lashing out on Twitter about their former employer when they're trying to get another job, i.e. Dez Bryant. Pretty amazing. Don't all these guys get a hand guide, a book, a pamphlet, a leaflet? Hey, here's what not to do on social media once you get a big fat contract. Speaking of big fat contracts, today Carmelo Anthony gets paid a lot to go away. The Atlanta Hawks have finalized their buyout with Carmelo Anthony, which is pretty amazing because the Atlanta Hawks traded for his contract to buy it out. Carmelo Anthony will get his full $27.9 million salary for the season, nearly $28 million, although does accept a $2.4 million reduction in the buyout with the Hawks. Aw, it's so nice of Carmelo. The giving season for Carmelo. The Hawks didn't want Dennis Schroeder's contract, so they decided, well, we'll take on Carmelo's, which is fine because there were some savings there. But what's interesting is that the Hawks would rather him just go away. They got to pay him anyway. They'd rather Carmelo just go away for free. They've got to cut a $28 million check. He gets to go and earn more money somewhere else on top of that $28 million check. Let's look at Carmelo Anthony's career. Because Carmelo has a fascinating parabola here. Number one, he's a winner. He's a college winner. He puts the team on his back. He's best in biggest moments. He carries Syracuse to its only basketball national championship. He's at his best when it matters most. The Elite Eight, the Final Four, the championship game against Kansas. He goes for 20-10 in all three of those games. And in the Final Four against the Longhorns, goes for 33-14. The guy was the most outstanding player of the tournament. He's a winner. He can elevate a team. He gets to the NBA. Can't elevate a team. Carmelo Anthony has been in the league since 2003. That's 15 years ago. He's been out of the first round twice. 15 years of the NBA, he's been out of the first round twice. Let me give you the earnings of Carmelo Anthony. Over the last decade, this is per year in millions of dollars. 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, 22, 22, 22, 24, 26, and this year, $28 million. Carmelo Anthony has already earned, before this upcoming season, $232 million. When this buyout is complete after this season, he will have earned approximately $265 million in career earnings and been the best player on a team that got out of the first round twice. $260 million for a guy that got out of the first round twice. In some ways, you can't even be mad at it. It's brilliant. Carmelo Anthony is obviously an elite scorer, was at least for the bulk of his career. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. But in terms of winning stuff that matters, look at his colleagues, look at his peers, look at his friends, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kevin Garnett, guys of his generation that won titles, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry. Look at the stars of the NBA that are Hall of Famers or will be Hall of Famers around Carmelo Anthony. And all of them must look at Carmelo's resume as 2 years out of the first round and laugh. You kind of have to admire how much Carmelo has made, how long his career is, how he'll still get paid despite never elevating his team. Look, he was saddled with some bad teams, some bad management. The Phil Jackson years are a disaster in New York, and that's not necessarily on Carmelo. But boy, when you really boil it down, $260 million over the course of his career, and he got out of the first round twice. is extraordinary. And now he's at the point in time where a team is going to pay him $28 million to just go away. Please, Carmelo, just leave. Imagine your boss called you and said, look, we got a deal for you. We're going to pay you your entire salary this year, but we don't want you at work. Really? Well, I mean, could I, like, drink beer all day? Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Can I, like, go to games all the time? Yep. Can I do some traveling? Yeah, fine. Do I have to be in the zip code? Nope. Do I have to do anything? No, please, just go away. Actually, it's better if you just don't show up. You're going to pay me the entire salary? Yes, the whole thing. It's all yours. Just take it. Burn it however you want. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Just don't be around here. In some ways, it's incredibly admirable. Good to be Carmelo, man. Good to be Carmelo. I also love that Carmelo didn't want to accept the buyout out of, I guess, his ego. And his family convinced him it was a good thing. How do you even need to be sold on this? Dad, you'll get all of the money and you don't have to show up to work. Oh, no, I can't accept that. Honey, you get all of the $28 million and they're telling you, please don't go to work. You should do that. You should definitely do that. It seems like a pretty good deal. No strings attached. Just go away. And I'll tell you, it would be pretty amazing if Carmelo actually accepted a role where he is a bit player, a role player, a number three option, or even lower on the Houston Rockets, and the Rockets somehow won an NBA championship, and this is how he went out as a winner. What an amazing backflip that would be in his career. But I just don't see it. I mean, he's still blaming the Thunder for their way in that they used him, that he didn't get any help there, that nobody taught him. I got a tough time believing that suddenly that leopard's going to change its spots in Houston.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the jungle, everybody. DA, Damon Amendolara with you. You can usually catch me before Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. We're also simulcast, of course, on the great CBS Sports Network. And Thursday at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, CBS Sports Network is live from Surf City, USA, with four straight days of epic surfing as they bring you exclusive coverage for the 2018 Vans U.S. Open of Surfing on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Glad you're with us. So much football in the news. And to discuss our next guest, an NFL All-Pro, an NFL Pro Bowler, a member of the NFL's all-decade team as a kick return specialist extraordinaire in the 2000s. He is the X Factor. He is the human joystick. He is my man, Dante Hall. Tay, how you doing, brother?
Hey, now. Hey, I'm doing great, man. Football season is right around the corner.
It's weird, right, because it's late July. It's still supposed to feel like summer, and yet you see training camps open and the Hall of Fame game is coming up this week, and you're like, damn, it's football season, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Hey, when the NBA ends, it's a countdown for me. Like, when is training camp starting? Because I know once training camp starts, that means preseason games are around the corner. Before you know it, the regular season began. So it's an exciting time, and I can't wait to see what the season has in store for us.
Yeah, man, no doubt. In the Cowboys camp right now, there is no Dez Bryant. He lashes out of the team that cut him, and it sounds like Stephen Jones was probably trying to love up Dak, but in doing so, took a shot at Dez and says Dak will be better. Dak Prescott should be better at quarterback because Dez won't be in his ear. Let me ask you just on the surface, do you think that's a truth? Could Dak be better because he doesn't have the pressure of throwing to Dez Bryant?
Man, that's a tough question. It's a convoluted question because it's so much to uncover with that, but just on the surface, I can see where Stephen Jones is coming from in the sense of, yes, when you are a younger player, particularly a quarterback, and you're throwing to a veteran player, especially a personality like Dez Bryant, they're going to be in your ear. They're going to constantly be saying, hey, I'm open. Hey, did you see this? You just have constant rhetoric and constant nagging in your ear. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. I've witnessed it. So, yes, I can see where he's coming from in that. But who is he going to throw to now? Who on that roster is better than Dez Bryant that he's going to throw to? So that's kind of the issue that I have.
Yeah.
Who is he going to throw to now?
Exactly right. They don't have a number one wide receiver, and they lose Jason Witten. I think back to your Chiefs teams, and Tony Gonzalez was a future Hall of Famer catching a ton of passes. Was there pressure on your Chiefs quarterbacks to get Tony the ball?
Well, the teams that I played for never had rookies. If you think about it, when I came in, I think Elvis Gerback was a quarterback my rookie year. Soon after that, you had Trent Green. So that was you didn't have that dynamic of a rookie, young quarterback throwing to a veteran. You had veterans throwing to veterans. So it wasn't that dynamic. Now, when we had some of the younger guys come in or some of the less established guys come in, then, yeah, you would get a Dante Hall or Eddie Kennison or maybe a Tony Gonzalez saying, hey, you might want to look for this, look for that. I was open. They're running this coverage. But, you know, that's across the entire NFL. You're going to have that. So I don't know if that was a scapegoat or not, but it is what goes on in NFL.
Dante Hall joins us here on the show. Dez called out a couple of his former teammates, including Sean Lee, saying that basically Sean Lee ran a campaign to get me out of there. How often does that happen? Do you have teammates that are in the locker room politicking for a guy to be cut, released, or traded because they think that he's a bad fit chemistry-wise in the locker room?
Well, I've never seen or never heard of a guy politicking or even having the cachet to make personnel decisions and get a guy kicked off. But what I have been a part of was, I would say, you would call it a coach's committee, where you got a group of guys that the head coach or the offensive or defensive coordinators will go to, even the special teams coaches. They would have a select handful of veteran guys that they would go to get a pulse on the team. And although as a veteran guy, you wouldn't have the statute to get rid of a guy, your input was influential. So, for instance, if a coach went to a particular veteran, a captain or whatever you want to label him, and he would ask about a guy, that input you gave back could be influential in the decisions moving forward. So I think when Sean Lee said it's absurd for coaches to go to other players for opinions, I totally disagree with that because coaches do that all the time. I was part of a committee, a several on two different teams, actually. So it's not absurd for a coach to go to a player to, you know, get some input behind the scenes because coaches, as we all know, are not with the players all the time. So they need to kind of know what's going on when the coaches are not around. So I could see where Dez was coming from. And to me, also, for Dez to insinuate that or to even kind of put that snake snitch tag on Sean Lee, I believe he has to know something because that's a strong, strong statement to tweet out about somebody if you don't have absolute guarantee that you believe he is a snake or a snitch. So, you know, we'll never know. Only Sean Lee knows. Only Dez knows. But just being a part of the NFL, being a part of locker rooms, and being part of these veteran committees or whatever you want to call them, I can see how Sean Lee possibly could have had some influence on Dez being removed from the Cowboys. Now, with that said, I believe the biggest culprit of Dez being gone was his production. That's the biggest culprit. Sean Lee can say everything he wants to say. If the production is high like it was in 2013, 2014, it doesn't matter what Sean Lee said. So for me, I think the biggest culprit was Dez's production or lack thereof.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Dez doesn't have a job yet. Dez is still a free agent. Do you think lashing out on Twitter like this hurts his case even more, or do you think when an injury happens in training camp or a team becomes desperate enough that he'll get a job as we creep closer to week one?
No, I think this definitely hurts him. His reputation already had preceded him. He's kind of like the T.O. 2.0. So if T.O., as great as he was, couldn't get a job, I think the same thing, unfortunately, is going to happen to Dez. I think he's going to be an outcast because, like I said, the production does not come with a headache. And for these guys, I think I heard Shannon Sharp. He simply said it and put it the best way you can possibly put it. He said, high production going to high tolerance. When your production is low, the tolerance level is low. It's so, so true. I've seen it so many times. I experienced it myself on so many levels. So I think with that being said, it's going to be tough for him to get a job, especially considering he turned down a job in Baltimore. So that further shows you that, I guess, the reputation of him being a diva or the reputation of him being, you know, not willing to be a great teammate, it just basically adds to that. So I think it's going to be really, really tough, even if some teams get injured. If the Cleveland Browns won't bring you to their team, I don't see any other situation where any other team would want to bring you in.
Dante Hall joins us today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. I want to ask you about this new helmet rule because you played on offense, you played on special teams, so you were getting hit. But with this new rule, the NFL is suggesting that if a receiver has the ball and lowers his helmet to brace for a hit, if that initiates contact, then the offensive player could be penalized or even ejected from the game. How difficult do you think this will be to try to enforce?
I mean, it's an impossible task, first of all. It's just impossible. And before I was a receiver in NFL or running back in college or any of those titles, I was just a fan of the game, right? Just a fan of the game. Big hits. I can remember, even as I approached my 40s, I remember being a teenager watching Monday Night Football when Steve Atwater laid out Christian Okoye. Like, those type of indelible moments are just stained in my memory, and probably the reason why I wanted to play the game was the big hit, was the guy taking a big hit and getting up. Like, wow, that guy's tough. So I just think it's impossible. I was just part of a Kansas City Chiefs fantasy flag football little deal that they had over the summer, right? So this flag football, or this, they call it fantasy camp. We bring fans in and we give them a locker room tour and we sit down in meetings and we watch film. And then at the end of that, we go out and we have a flag football game, right? Now, mind you, this fantasy camp is to raise money for concussions and awareness and all of this stuff, right? So we're playing a flag football game. And I have a young lady on my team. She's pretty athletic. She's pretty good. And she's going in to detach the flag, make a tackle, essentially, right? And get ran over. I'm talking Jerome Bettis-style, ran over truck in a flag football game. She had to leave the game. I'm pretty sure she had a concussion. And this is flag football we're talking about. So it's just an impossible task to ask these guys that's playing a physical game, one of the most physical sports on earth, to not use your head, especially when your head is attached to your freaking shoulder. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you can't make a tackle with your shoulder, with your body, without your head at some point making contact. I just think it's ridiculous. Now, I understand what they're trying to do. Just think it's ridiculous.
So I'm sure you're in favor of trying to make the game safer, but then how do we do it? What's a reasonable way to do it if this one is too confusing or kind of impossible?
No, I'm not necessarily on that side that's saying make it safer. I'm on the side that's saying, hey, we know what the information is now. Now, hey, you decide if you want to play, right? This is like trying to make – I don't want to do this, but I want to make a point by doing this because – it's the same when you look below the surface. It would be like asking a guy who signs up to go fight for his country, hey, make it safe, right? Let's make it safe. I want to go over. I want to fight for my country, but I want to come back with all my limbs. I want to come back alive. I want to come back with no PTS. I want all of these things, but I want to fight for my country. No, you know when you sign up. That's why we rave and we celebrate our soldiers because we know what they're signing up for. I think football is the exact same way in that sense. Not life or death, but in the sense of, hey, here's the information. You could potentially be paralyzed. You could potentially have symptoms and ailments that is going to be affecting you long after your football career. Now, it's on you. Do you want to sign up and play this game? Because this is the info we have. This is what we know. And I think it should just be that simple, man. You cannot make a dangerous sport less dangerous. You can't.
Do you think that the league does enough for the former players that are hurting nowadays after when you played?
Yes, I think they do. They have amazing programs as far as compensating you for the injury. They give you insurance. You get all these, I don't know what you call it. You get a lot of income basically to help you deal with these injuries and things of that sort when you're done. The biggest issue I think the NFL has is not necessarily the concussion thing, but it's this flag and this standing for the national anthem. That's the biggest issue to me right now.
What's the right way for the NFL to handle the flag situation?
I don't think the NFL can handle it. I think it has to start with the player. I was thinking about it. I was watching some sports shows this morning, and I saw where Dak Prescott was like, you know, we're going to stand, and I'm patriotic. And he was like, you know, the whole notion or the whole idea of us taking a knee was to raise awareness. And that awareness has been brought to the national forefront, if not the world forefront, as far as, you know, innocent black kids being shot and killed by policemen. That awareness was raised 2 years ago, right? And I just thought, like, man, did Rosa Parks, after she said, did the bus boycott, did she continue to sit and sit and sit and sit? So at some point you raise the awareness, then you need to move on. Then you just need to move on. So I think it's taken away from the game. I don't want to – I hate hearing the rhetoric behind it. I'm sick of hearing it. Things are still going on. We raise the awareness. Now we need to move on and find solutions, not – continue to discuss should you kneel or stand. I just think it's taken away from the whole point of Colin Kaepernick's original reason why he kneeled in the first place. We don't even talk about that anymore. So to me, it's just dividing us. It's splitting us up. And the issue at hand has not even really been discussed anymore.
Should the NFL mandate its players stand for the national anthem or they get fined?
That's ridiculous. I mean, now you're talking about constitutional rights. The right to protest or the right to, you know, to do all of these freedoms that these soldiers fought for us and this country has basically stood upon for years. So to me, when you start demanding guys do things like that, you're messing with your freedom and liberties, and that's the number one thing that I think we all can agree on is that whether we agree or not, don't mess with my freedom. Don't mess with my liberty. So, no, I think the NFL should not, and I don't think Jerry Jones should be able to demand that you must stand or kneel.
Dante Hall joins us here on the show, former All-Pro, former Pro Bowler, member of the All-Decade team of the 2000s. You can follow him on Twitter, you know it, at OGXFactor82. And I'm glad to hear you still got your flag football skills, Tay. I'm sure it's tough to chase you down to the flag football field.
Well, I lost in a championship game, so I'm not sure how good my skills are, man. And I actually played, so.
It's always great to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for finding time for me today.
Likewise, man. Peace and love.
All right, back at you. Dante Hall, good friend of mine, joining us here on the Jim Rome Show. Really interesting stuff from Tay. I always love having him on the show because he's thoughtful and, you know, he really kind of breaks it down so well. And I think that's an interesting take. You know, Dante saying you should not be able to fine me for protesting during the national anthem. But in his estimation, the anthem protests are now, they're done and it's time to move on and actually do something about changing it and change the things that you're frustrated about instead of just protesting. Really interesting stuff from Dante Hall. When we come back, the NFL and the helmet rule we were just talking about with Dante. Are they sinking their own ship and creating confusion? DA in for Jim Rome today.